Hi, and welcome back to Season 2 of the Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Kramer, and I'll be continuing our discussion on the Book of Romans. This New Testament epistle, or letter, was written by the Apostle Paul, one of the most outspoken followers of Christ. Let's pick up where we left off. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. The question is, who are the children of the promise? The answer is, when Abraham and Sarah were much too old to have a child, besides Sarah's barrenness, God caused Sarah to conceive Isaac. By granting Abraham and Sarah a child when it was impossible for them to have one, God was demonstrating how he saves people who cannot save themselves. See Matthew chapter 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Ephesians chapter 2. First came God's promise, then came the children of God generated by that promise. However, fallen human nature wants to reverse the order, as if we could produce life on our own, and because of that, claim special favor with God. There's a world of difference between people who are born of natural, physiological means and a soul regenerated by the Word and Spirit of God. See John chapters 3 and 6, 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 15, and Galatians chapter 4. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac. The question is, what is Paul's point regarding Isaac? The answer is, Paul is demonstrating from history the power and certainty of God's word. Chapter 9, verse 6. Isaac and Rebekah were unable to conceive a child, just as Abraham and Sarah, and Jacob and Rachel. See Genesis chapters 25 and 30. Children are conceived according to the word of the Lord, to a life that has been prepared for them according to the will of the Lord. Romans chapter 9, verse 18. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. The question is, why does God harden hearts? Doesn't God want to have mercy on all of us? The answer is, God has had mercy on all, loves all, and has redeemed all people in the life of his Son who died in place of all people. God only hardens people when that is the inescapable consequence of their opposition to him. When a person is determined to pursue death, contrary to God's will, God stands in the way to turn that person into the way of life. Ezekiel 18, verses 23 through 32. When a person responds by increasing the intensity of his opposition against God and the way to life, such a person becomes hard of heart. The hardening of his heart is the product of God standing in the way of this person's self-destruction. But the fault is with the person who refuses to be corrected. See Romans chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 2. The record of hard-hearted people and the severe warnings against this are an important antidote to the cantankerous disposition of fallen human nature. On the other hand, we may never assume that a person's heart has been hardened beyond recovery. See Matthew chapter 7 and Acts chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. The question is, if the Israelites are not saved, why did God call them the chosen people? The answer is, answering this question depends on how we define Israelite. If Israelite refers to the physical descendants of Jacob, then many of them are not saved, as Paul laments. See Romans chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 3. However, this is the same for all physical descendants of Adam, since that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See John chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. On the other hand, if Israelite means a spiritual person regenerated by the word of God, the way Isaac and Jacob were conceived, then all of Israel is saved. See Romans chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 3. While God called all of Israel out of Egypt, only the children and two of the adult men entered the promised land. Numbers 14 verses 26 through 32. This history is indicative of all humanity. It has never been birth order or physical descent that mattered, since we are all descended from fallen Adam, Acts 17 verses 26 through 31. What matters are the words and promises of God that regenerate us as his own children. See Matthew chapters 8 and 15, John chapters 1, 3, 10, and 15, and 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 9, verse 31. The question is, what does it mean that Israel pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, but did not succeed in reaching that law? The answer is, the law knows nothing of grace or mercy. The law knows only how things must be with no exceptions. The regularity of the universe and all life depends on this fact. If a person is determined to make his own life, present and eternal, depend on keeping the law without fail, he will absolutely fail. Isaiah 64 verse 6 and Romans 7 verse 18. The purpose of recording the law, of making specific laws for Israel, and for recording the history of humanity, is to provide overwhelming, incontrovertible proof that fallen human beings are absolutely incapable of meeting the requirements of the law. See Romans chapters 3, 6, and 7. Paul provides further explanation himself in Romans 10 verses 1 through 17. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the questions and answers we've been discussing today. For more helpful tools and a free Bible study guide, visit cph.org. Join me next week as we continue exploring the book of Romans.